Langdon brought the armored truck to a stop at the foot of the mile-long driveway approaching the sprawling 185-acre estate of Chateau Villette. Through the imposing security gate, Sir Lee Teabing's residence rose on a meadow in the distance. Langdon stopped, then pressed the intercom button. After some moments, the intercom crackled, and an irritated French accent spoke.
Chateau Villette, who is calling?
This is Robert Langdon, Langdon called out. I'm a friend of Sir Lee Teabing. I need his help.
My master is sleeping, as was I. What is your business with him?
It's a private matter, one of great interest to him.
Then I'm sure he will be pleased to receive you in the morning.
It's quite important.
As is Sir Lee's sleep. If you are a friend, then you are aware he is in poor health.
Sir Lee Teabing had suffered from polio as a child and now walked with braces, but Langdon had found him such a lively and colorful man on his last visit that it hardly seemed an infirmity. If you would please tell him I have uncovered new information about the Grail, information that cannot wait until morning. There was a long pause. Langdon and Sophie waited. A full minute passed. Finally, someone spoke.
My good man, I dare say you are still on Cambridge Standard Time?
The voice was crisp and light. Langdon grinned, recognizing the thick British accent.
Lee, my apologies for waking you at this obscene hour. My manservant tells me you speak of the Grail.
I thought that might get you out of bed.
And so it has.
Any chance you'd open the gate for an old friend?
Those who seek the truth are more than friends. They are brothers.
The gate clicked open. Langdon and Sophie pulled into a parking area nestled in the evergreens. No reason to risk being spotted from the road, he said. Sophie nodded.
What do we do with the cryptex? We probably shouldn't leave it out here, but if Lee sees it, he'll certainly want to know what it is.
Not to worry, Langdon said, removing his jacket as he stepped out of the car. He wrapped the tweed coat around the box. Teabing never answers his own door. He prefers to make an entrance. I'll find somewhere inside to stash this before he joins us. The pathway to the main entrance was hand-laid cobblestone. It curved to a door of carved oak and cherry with a brass knocker the size of a grapefruit. Before Sophie could grasp the knocker, the door swung open from within. A butler stood before them, making final adjustments on the white tie and tuxedo he had apparently just donned. He looked to be about 50, with refined features and an austere expression that left little doubt he was unamused with their presence here.
Sir Lee will be down presently, he declared, his accent thick French. He is dressing. Right this way, please.
The butler guided them into an exquisitely adorned sitting room. Walking to the hearth, he knelt and touched a match to a pre-laid arrangement of oak logs and kindling. A fire quickly crackled to life. The man stood, straightening his jacket.
My master requests that you make yourselves at home.
With that, he departed, leaving Langdon and Sophie alone. Langdon unwrapped the cryptex from his coat, walked to the velvet divan, and slid the wooden box deep underneath it, well out of sight. Then, shaking out his jacket, he put it back on and smiled at Sophie as he sat down directly over the stashed treasure. As she stared into the growing fire, enjoying the warmth, Sophie had the sensation that her grandfather would have loved this room. The dark wood paneling was bedecked with old master paintings, one of which Sophie recognized as a Poussin, her grandfather's second favorite painter.
Sir Robert, a voice bellowed somewhere behind them, I see you travel with a maiden.
Langdon stood up. Sophie jumped to her feet as well. The voice had come from the top of a curled staircase that snaked up to the shadows of the second floor.
Good evening, Langdon called up. Sir Lee, may I present Sophie Neveu?
An honor.
Teabing moved into the light.
Thank you for having us, Sophie said,
now seeing the man wore metal leg braces and was coming down one stair at a time.
I realize it's quite late.
It is so late, my dear. It's early.
Their host arrived at the bottom of the stairs. Portly and ruby-faced, Sir Lee Teabing had bushy red hair and jovial hazel eyes that seemed to twinkle as he spoke. He wore pleated pants and a roomy silk shirt under a paisley vest. Teabing arrived and extended a hand to Langdon.
Robert, you've lost weight.
Langdon grinned. And you've found some. Teabing laughed heartily, patting his rotund belly. Turning now to Sophie, he gently took her hand, bowing his head slightly, breathing lightly on her fingers. Milady. The butler who had answered the door now entered carrying a tea service, which he arranged on a table in front of the fireplace.
This is Remy Legloudec, Teabing said, my manservant.
The slender butler gave a stiff nod and disappeared yet again. Teabing eyed Sophie a moment, then looked at Langdon.
Something has happened. You both seem shaken.
Langdon nodded.
We've had an interesting night, Lee.
No doubt. You arrive on my doorstep, unannounced, in the middle of the night, speaking of the Grail.
Lee, Langdon said, we'd like to talk to you about the Priory of Sion. Teabing's bushy eyebrows arched with intrigue.
The Keepers? You say you come with information? Something new, Robert?
Perhaps. We're not quite sure. We might have a better idea if we could get some information from you first. Teabing wagged his finger.
Ever the wily American. Very well, I am at your service. What is it I can tell you?
Langdon sighed. I was hoping you'd be kind enough to explain to Miss Neveu the true nature of the Holy Grail. Teabing looked stunned.
She doesn't know?
Langdon shook his head. The smile that grew on Teabing's face was almost obscene.
Robert, you've brought me a virgin?
Langdon winced, glancing at Sophie. Virgin is the term Grail enthusiasts use to describe anyone who has never heard the true Grail story. Teabing already had Sophie locked in his twinkling gaze.
You are a Grail virgin, and trust me, you will never forget your first time.